Welcome to Making the Difference, a series of programmes from Mary Mackle College about students and staff, past and present, who have made a difference in some way to the world today. Each episode acts as recognition to a different person for the great and often unrewarded work that they do in their day-to-day lives. Let's hear from today's candidate.
Hello, my name is Father Michael Wall. I am here in Mary Mackle College and my current role here in the college is chaplain, and I also lecture in theology and religious studies. Well, I was born in 1953, so that puts it in context for you. Growing up, I was born in Bedford Row. There was a lying-in hospital in Bedford Row. It's now gone. Well gone. But obviously I grew up in a place called Drumcullagher, which is out in the Cork Limerick border, and we always kind of said, you know, thank God in the morning we weren't born Cork people, we were born Limerick people. Just born at the right side of the border. We'd been born into basically a farming family. And I would have seen quite a lot of changes in the sense that the initial primary school I went to was the old primary school. And it was just boys downstairs, girls upstairs. And you had up to second class was in one room. And from third class to sixth class in another room. So we had the missus and the master. Equally, which was kind of, I suppose, a little bit different, the toilets were just what we call the long drop. You know, no flushing toilets, none of that kind of stuff. Now, we moved to the new school then. So that was, I moved to the new school, I think, when I was in high infants. But I have a distinct memory of the other one. In terms of growing up, I mean, going to school was handy enough, like, except that, of course, it was a time of corporal punishment, so you could get slapped. You know, but you just took that as part for the course. There wasn't too much commotion about it, that's it. I think school was quite a bit different to now. In terms of growing up, like growing up in a farmer family, at that time it was quite difficult because it was a transition period. Farming before that tended to have a lot of manpower. Oh, by the time I came to be a teenager, all that had disappeared because a lot of people during the 50s, as you remember, would have immigrated. And then we had, in the early 60s, we had a whole thing of kind of foreign companies coming in. There was an expansion in the amount of jobs. Plus, also in 67, you had the advent of free education, where everybody tended to go to secondary school. So that whole system of kind of physical manpower being available wasn't. And yet at the same time, you had a situation where mechanisation hadn't really come. So as kids, we got a lot of work, an awful lot of work, right? And I can remember for secondary school, I was sent to Munchins as a boarder. Lots of people hated boarding school. I thought boarding school was great. I was looking at the amount of work I was escaping, the amount of cows I would have to milk, the amount of misery I would have to go through. It was kind of like a holiday camp. Basically, in Munchins, I would have been in Munchins from 67 to 72 and just did leaving cert there. And, you know, just that time was just normal. You just went through. Even though you did know, probably different to now, you did know coming from the country that if you didn't get on well academically, you were going to be hanging around with the backside hanging out of your trousers. So you knew that the route out was to get a kind of a good academic result. So there would have been a drive about that. There was also a drive that you knew if you wanted to go to university, well, you had to get two honours anyway. But being realistic, if you wanted, in terms of your parents being able to afford it, you had to get a county council grant. And the county council grant was you had to get four honours, which was basically you had to get a minimum of four C's. Now, with the risk of maybe insulting current students, I think there has been an inflation in grades in the meantime. Four C's, five C's that time was a very good leaving cert. You know, when you hear people now getting 600 points and say, it was just, no, people didn't get A's that time. Maybe one in the country, two in the country got A's, but like, rafts of A's didn't happen. I would, like everybody else who applied through the CEO form at that time, so I would have applied for two things really. One was primary teaching, which was, you know, that time they spoke about getting the call. That's what it was called. If you got the call, you had to do an interview, and there was also the question of kind of, you know, you had to be able to sing somewhat, like, right? And if you were a girl, of course, you know, yes, you're smiling there, but if you were a girl, you had to be able to sew, turn a heel in a sock and those kind of things, right? The other one, which is probably the one I would have done, I also had applied for veterinary in UCD, and I had got veterinary in UCD. I didn't understand it was going to Maynooth. So to go to Maynooth, I turned down teacher training, but I turned down veterinary in UCC. In Maynooth, I would have started with, there was 72 of us in the class, 39 of us did arts and science. So I would have done kind of a 7-year course. First of all, I would have done a BA in maths and philosophy. And then after that, I did a BD, which is the Bachelor of Divinity. And then after that, I did what was called an STL, which is the Masters. And so that actually took me through, in fact, for a total of 8 years. After being ordained, I was sent back to finish the Masters. That was the first bit. And then I went off and I did more postgraduate studies after that. And then in 1982, I was sent teaching in the school, what was then the School of Commerce in Mulgrave Street. It's now Limerick Senior College. I suppose in terms of schools, it would have been a difficult enough kind of school. But the kids there were great, but they had a different, you know, there was a cultural kind of difference, right? So I was there for 3 years and it was a good experience. After that, I was sent lecturing to Mater Dei in Dublin, but I was also working in City Quay Parish in Dublin. It was kind of between the river and Trinity College, really, that strip of ground, that was City Quay Parish. I can remember quite distinctly the culture shock, right? And it was a different kind of world. It was a very nice kind of world once you got to know it, but it was a very different world than being reared in a rural community in Drumcolliher. Like, it was inner city Dublin, real inner city Dublin, where they kind of, anybody beyond, anybody west of O'Connell Bridge was a culture, right? So it was a very different way of looking at life, a very different kind of philosophy, a very different orientation. Well, I actually came to Mary Immaculate College initially in 1982. Remember, starting away, and that time, I mean, I suppose lectures now are a bit different. That time, you were very kind of, very advanced and sophisticated if you were using overhead transparencies. I mean, that was, you know, the overhead projector and the overhead transparency was the kind of the cutting edge technology at that time. That was the starting point. So I would have been coming back and forth to Mary Eye doing, particularly doing a lot of those night classes. I would also have been in, Sister Jo was in charge of theology and religious studies at the time, so I would have been in lecturing the 4 years. Very often I didn't know what class they were. You know, you just come in, they said, you got a class, you got a module to do, so you just come in, you lectured. And, you know, if you're coming as a part-timer, you tend not to engage as much with an institution or even a class, whatever, you just come in, do a job, out and gone. In fact, so much so, I think I was here from 1982 until I came in 2000, full-time, and I didn't really know where the staff room was. Because you never went there. I think I went there once, but it wasn't. You know, it wasn't, well, if you're an outsider, it's not that inviting. You come in, you don't belong to anywhere. You know, so that was that bit. And so then the opportunity came up here in terms of the person who was chaplain here wanted to leave. Bishop said to me, well, what do you think? Would you like, do you want to leave where you are? So I said, okay, I go to Mary Eye. So that's, I came to Mary Eye. I suppose in terms of coming to Mary Eye, yeah, I had already been lectured here, so I kind of knew as well kind of what students were like. A lot of people, I mean, I know a lot of priests would not particularly like to be working in taught level institutions. I think it depends on your personality. For instance, I could never see myself, or would not be able to cope with, say, working as chaplain in a hospital. That I couldn't do. Because, you know, you kind of have, well, if you work in a chaplain hospital, I mean, depending on the particular hospital, very often the stories are sad stories. Okay, working in a third level institution, yes, we have some sad stories, but most of the stories are joyful stories. You know, there are people going through, they're getting their exams, they're kind of, you know, they're getting the results, they're ultimately graduating, you know, and you get emails back from people who got jobs and all that kind of stuff. So there's a whole buoyancy about it that you don't have in other situations. You know, so I think that's the really good bit about it. Now, the other part of it, of course, is that I think working in third level institution keeps a person kind of young in mentality as well, because most of the people around you are, they're talking about young things rather than kind of old things, you know. Normally, I would be in here around, well, basically around kind of 9 o'clock in the morning. right? More or less. Now, I do have a number of classes, so they kind of dictate the pace to a certain extent. In first semester, I teach world religions to first years. So that demands a certain amount of preparation. Then, I mean, you do a bit of kind of stuff. In chaptaincy, we have Cecilia's working with me on chaptaincy team, and the two girls, two co-ops, but it's two girls at the moment, it's not always girls, the two co-op students. So you kind of meet them and see what's kind of happening. Our days would vary very much in terms of what's happening college-wise, or if there's a bereavement, if somebody belonged to a student has died or whatever, a student is sick, that kind of can have it all planned out, and then something like that happens, and then it just goes out the window because you've got to go to that, you've got to deal with that. Also, you tend now to get more so, even in the last number of years, you tend to get a lot of students contact you, not necessarily by knocking on the door, but by their sending text or email. They will make their initial contacts that way. Now, the other things that would be, obviously, is a whole range of meetings. We'd be on a number of different committees, like you've got the One World Society, I'd be on kind of the, I'm on Board Real at the moment, which is the governing body. I'm also on CBC, which is the executive body of the college, executive governing body of the college. Then I would be on things like the Health Promotion Committee. I'd be on the I-Grade Committee. They all take in their own kind of time. There's preparation for those meetings. There's been at them, and there's the follow-up afterwards. And then there's actual meeting individual students. Sometimes you're meeting students because of academic stuff, because, I mean, obviously, besides the first years that I teach world religions to, I also teach Christology to all the second year BEDs, which is 450 or 60 or whatever is there, and I teach ecclesiology to fourth year BAs and third year BEDs. So there's kind of a range, and they come from those, and then of course I supervise FYPs as well, so there'd be a few of those coming in and going. And then there's just normal stuff that happens in terms of students being a bit under the weather, a bit various kind of personal kind of difficulties, or sometimes just ordinary simple things, and they just knock on the door and say, okay, can you help me in this? I suppose, when do I leave the college? Normally in the evening time, probably not really gone an evening before 7, but a lot of times I'd be here until about 9, depending on what would be happening as well. Because, I mean, there's a whole lot of, there's a whole lot of student events as well. And I do think it's important for staff to be at those. Well, I suppose the thing that gives you most satisfaction, I think, is graduation day. You know, you see people who come in, some of them would be quite good when they come in, but some of them may be quite weak as well. And they kind of, you know, they kind of get through, they kind of get the LFYP done, or they get kind of through the BEd, and they're there, and, you know, it's all behind them. They have actually managed to do it. I think that's kind of gives us the biggest buzz, really, you know. The thing that gives you most kind of buzz, in a sense, is seeing somebody who mightn't be too interested in the subject, and then they kind of, you know, you can see them kind of, their interest opens, and they become more enthusiastic about it. You know, I think that gives a great kind of buzz as well, you know. In terms of here, one is always kind of a bit wary about saying what difference you make to an institution like here, because the reality, and I often say this to people, the reality is, if it takes students' life here, it's a very short lifespan. Individually, when you deal with actual individuals, whether it's kind of a difficult situation like bereavement, or whether you're kind of helping them academically or whatever, I think the difference is that if you're kind and nice and understanding, and, you know, without being kind of a soft pushover, but if you are in actual fact human towards actual students, I think it makes a difference. And that's where I would see the difference being made. I don't see it as kind of like, you know, every institution has a life of its own. It's a bureaucracy of its own. It moves on. Like, no individual makes it up as such, but I think an individual, in terms of their personal relationships with students, with other staff members, that's, I think, quite a difference. Particularly in chaplaincy, I would see it as sacramental. And what I mean by sacramental is that through ordinary human actions, you make something of kind of God or the divine present. In other words, that kind of by being nice, by being kind, by being human, by being understanding, you are making the presence of God a reality for that individual. So that's the way I would see it. That's where I would see a difference being made.
This programme was produced by Wired FM and was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland's Sound and Vision funding scheme. Wired FM would like to thank everybody involved in making the series.